Someone has said, the longer the silence, the greater the gravity of the words that follow. In our text this morning, there are no words that follow, because the time for talk is over when that happens. For thousands of years before that event, God has been sending his prophets and his preachers and teachers to tell the world that the end is coming. Judgment is coming. Christ is coming. And up to that point in world history, it's never come. Up to that point in history, the world could rightly say, as Peter prophesied the world would say, where is the promise of this coming? It's a joke now to see someone walking around with a sign saying, the end is near. The world laughs at that now. We've been hearing that for so many thousands of years. Up to that point in world history, God could be accused of blowing smoke, of being all talk, all bark, no bite. The end is coming, the end is coming, blah, 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 we've heard the end is coming. But on this day, there'll be no more talk. The time for talk is over. And there will be silence in heaven for about a half. And that kind of silence can be quite frightening. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. But that kind of silence can also be a wonderful, wonderful thing. We just finished vacation Bible school here at the church, where we had about 100 little fellers running around the church every night. And I did my very best to sugar them up and row up those kids just the very best I could, and then send them home with mom and dad. And I'm sure if you would ask their crew leaders, one of which you were introduced to earlier, they would tell you that silence is golden. That silence can be a wonderful, wonderful thing. I know a week or two ago, I tried to sleep with two of my grandsons, not knowing that their grandmother had given them permission to take the iPad to bed with them. And I tried my best while Omri and Olin were watching some kind of cartoon. I tried my best to close my eyes as tight as I could in that dark room to go to sleep, with both those boys on each side of me and an iPad between them. But then they started talking to each other about the cartoon that they were watching. And I thought we were going to sleep when we went to bed. And that's when I got up and I went to my own bed and I shut the door. Because sometimes silence can be a wonderful thing. Now, the deafening silence that we read about in our text this morning, and thank you, Brian, for reading that, it's wonderful for all those who have had enough of all this God talk about God's final day of judgment coming and Jesus coming. And finally, it's coming. No more talk. Action. two chapters prior to what Brian read this morning, we're told about all the saints that are under the altar in heaven, souls that had been slain for their service to Jesus Christ on earth. The Bible says this, I saw, the Apostle John talking, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they'd borne. They were martyrs for the sake of Christ, one and all. And John said they cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? I mean, talk is cheap. Lord, when are you going to get up and do something about this? You say you're going to. When are you going to do it? And the Bible says, then they were each given a white robe. They were told to rest a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves had been. And I tell you, on that day, when that quota is filled and the final martyr's life is taken from this earth and God has had enough, and heaven finally stops and the whole place grows deathly silent, and there's a tension so thick you can cut it with a knife, and the heads of all the martyrs pop out from under the altar to see what's going to happen, to see if God's going to keep his word, to see if vengeance is coming for their lives that have been taken from the earth. When heaven finally grows silent and everyone realizes God is ready to explode, that deafening silence for all those who've been waiting for all those years for justice will be a wonderful, wonderful thing. You can almost hear the martyrs cheering as the angel that was dispatched to offset all the bitter prayers of those martyred saints with sweet-smelling incense to make their prayers palatable enough for God to listen to. That angel now takes the same golden censer and he fills it with fire from the altar, and he flings the whole censer upon the earth, emptying the full load in one mighty throw. God's anger has now been cast upon the earth. It's Sodom and Gomorrah all over again. Except on that day, it's Sodom and Gomorrah all over the world. Fire and brimstone. And those persecuted saints who've been waiting so long for justice discover that justice delayed is not justice denied. Justice delayed is grace. It's time, additional time given by a loving God for the sinner to repent before his anger is tossed out upon the world. That's a graceful action, especially for those that will take the time to hear that silence, take advantage of the time provided by it, and repent of their sin and bow their knee before the coming of the coming King. This is why I like the final verse of the Battle Hymn of the Republic. I love the Battle Hymn, and I know it was a Civil War marching song, but it speaks of God's judgment to come. The first verse, we all know, mine eyes have seen the coming of the Lord. He's tramping out the vintage where his grapes of wrath are stored. He's loosed his faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. That day's coming. But the final verse pleads for just one more day before that day comes. The final verse says, we can almost hear the trumpet sound. The Lord's return is near. There are still so many people lost. His message they must hear. Father, give us one more moment. Just one more day. Just one more year with God. We're marching on. That's our plea this morning. Lord, just give us one more moment. Give us one more day. Give us one more year to share this wonderful time of silence before your vengeance is cast upon the earth. Silence can be a wonderful thing for those of you that will hear it and take advantage of it before the Lord's anger bursts out upon this earth. Now, that being said, silence can be a very dreadful thing as well, especially for those who do not believe in such a thing as the Lord's vengeance. For those who do not believe in things like Sodom and Gomorrah happenings, even though there is ample evidence that many such cataclysmic events have already happened multiple times over this planet. Of course, those events are said to have happened by natural causes, but there is no geologist, no archaeologist, no paleontologist worth his salt that will not tell you there has not been at least 5 or 6 near extinction events that have happened on this planet. Now, they'll claim it was caused perhaps by asteroids falling or glaciers moving or sea levels falling or acidic levels rising, volcanoes erupting, the ensuing ash blocking out the sun, the ice age beginning, the world flooding, as evidenced by all the fossils, which are nothing more than the evidence of massive death and destruction during the Cambrian Age. The continental split and shift. They say these continents were all one landmass around the world at one time, and they've split and separated from one. Multiple near extinction events that have already happened upon this earth. It's going to happen again, the Bible says. There will be an extinction event like this world has never yet seen. The Bible calls it the day of the Lord. And it says the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. And it happens, the Bible says, after the Lord has had enough. Enough. After there has been silence in heaven for about half an hour, after the Lord's blood has reached its boiling point, when the cup of God's wrath is completely full and all activity to save this planet ceases, then we're told all heaven will wait silently on pins and needles to see what God's going to do next. That kind of silence will send a chill down your spine real quick. We have a gentleman in this church that was a paratrooper who jumped into the Korean War, and he found himself guarding the enemy line through winter nights. And he tells how frightening all those North Korean trumpets were that blew through the night while he guarded the enemy line. But more chilling still, he says, was the sheer terror that would run down his spine when all those trumpets would suddenly, at the same time, go silent. And into the darkness, he did not know what was coming. Our text this morning speaks of trumpets that are given to seven angels who stand before God. And those angels wait for God's command for them to signal the end. And like good soldiers standing at the ready in the battle trench before the battle is given, all heaven waits in suspenseful silence to see if this is the moment when the commander in chief says, charge. And the angelic trench in heaven empties as God's angels make their way in a stampede upon this earth. Jesus said concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. And he advised, be on your guard, keep awake, for you do not know when that time will come. But the Father knows, and all heaven breathlessly awaits right now to see if this might not be the day when Jesus comes riding in, the Bible says, on a great white horse, judging and making war. His eyes, the Bible says, will be like a flame of fire. He will be clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, will be following him on their white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword, which he will use to strike down the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. For the time has come for the Lord Jesus to be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon those who do not know God and would not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I are left this morning to decide which side of that silence now we're going to be on when that day finally happens. Because that silence in heaven means both things. The silence in heaven before judgment falls means both wonderful things and dreadful things. Heaven's silence means one thing for those who've lived their lives in complete disobedience and denial of such a happening, but to those who have followed the Lord Jesus and are waiting for his return and are trying to prepare the world for his return, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ means something entirely different for us. It will be a wonderful happening. About one set of people upon the earth, the Bible says, the kings of the earth, the great ones, the generals, the rich, the powerful, everyone slave and free, those who have not obeyed the gospel, have not believed in his return, have not looked forward to that happening, the Bible says they will hide themselves in caves and among the rocks of the mountains, and they will call to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come. And who can stand? But at the very same time, the unbelieving world is calling to be hidden from God's wrath that has fallen. At the very same time, the Bible says the saints on earth are crying out, "Oh, Lord, come." And the martyrs under the altars are saying, "Let's get it on." Jesus said some people will be fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. But Jesus went on to say to his people, when these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. And you and I are left to decide this morning which response heaven's silence will elicit from us. Will Jesus' coming be a wonderful or a dreadful thing? If you have any doubt about which side of that silence you'll be on when he returns, then we encourage you to stop by our beginning point on your way out. There will be people out there to show you how you can begin to know more about the Lord Jesus. We do that in hopes that you will come to believe in Jesus and in his return, and that you will join us in becoming a follower of Jesus who waits and longs for that wonderful day. And until then, you'll join us in building his kingdom upon the earth. I pray you'll take due diligence in considering this moment of opportunity the Bible calls silence before the storm comes. Back in the 70s, Billy Graham was invited to join Johnny Carson on The Tonight Show. And at one point, there was a lull in the conversation, and Johnny leaned forward and he said, "You know, Billy, I bet if Jesus ever came back to earth, I bet we'd do him in again." And Billy leaned in and he said this. He said, "Johnny, in the Bible, we read that Jesus predicted he would return to earth again. But the first time he came in love. The next time he comes in power, and no one will do him in." Amen. And if I remember right, The Tonight Show went to commercial. I have no idea which side of that deafening silence Johnny Carson decided to be on. I pray he decided to follow the Lord Jesus before he left this earth. But I do know that you and I get to decide for ourselves this morning. Will we join those who look forward to the Lord's coming as a wonderful, wonderful thing? Or will we see even the thought of such a happening as a dreadful thing? That choice right now is ours. Let's stand and let's pray that we all make a good one. Could we please? Lord God, we thank you for this time that you've given all of us this morning to carefully think through where we will be on that last day. You told us it could happen any day, and it would catch us all by surprise. It would happen like a thief in the night. And you've warned us to prepare while there's still time. You've sent so many of your people to tell us. Much of our world now is just considering that all a bunch of talk. I pray no one here this morning will discount this time of grace, this silent moment before the storm comes, to carefully think through which side they want to be on when Jesus returns. I would pray, Lord, that if he would come today, every one of us would be ready and could look up and say, "Oh Lord, come." It's in Jesus' name we pray. God's people say, amen.